Live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. A look at the Preschool Promise Program. Jillian Wiesenberg is the South Central Early Learning Hub leader for the Douglas Education Service District, joining us this afternoon. So, Jillian, exactly what is Preschool Promise?
Preschool Promise is a high-quality and inclusive early learning experience, and it supports parents as their first teachers, is a parent choice kind of thing. So the State Early Learning Division oversees Head Start, they oversee Preschool Promise, and they set criteria for the teachers to be high quality. They set criteria for all of the standards. And so that's what Preschool Promise is. It's newer. It's been around for about 4 years. And we work closely with Head Start, our Head Start partners. They're wonderful. They've been around a long time and have a lot of experience, and so we work together to make sure that any parent, you know, that wants to and meets the requirements can have Preschool Promise experiences for their children.
So what are some of the differences from other preschool programs?
I think that Head Start, having been around longer and being a federal program, they have a lot of requirements and criteria to meet. But I think there's a lot of similarities. I think the teachers are all high quality. I think that the standards are up there. They're overseen by the Early Learning Division. I think also in our county and all the other counties, we have some wonderful preschools that are not Preschool Promise or Head Start. I think that as families make their choices, it's helpful to know what the background and the education and the expectations are for the teachers, and what will their children be learning, and how comfortable do they and their children feel at a particular preschool. I think it's really a matter of personal choice.
Now, is this only offered at specific schools, or how does it work?
Okay, well, in Douglas County, it depends. All across the state, it could be at a family child care provider, and it could be at a center, and it could be at a school. It just so happens that when the applications were opened up for Preschool Promise, we had several K-12 school districts apply, and that's why we have quite a few in school districts. So our school districts include North Douglas Elementary, Sutherland East Elementary, Brockway Elementary, Elkton Charter School, Myrtle Creek Elementary, Yonkala Elementary, and then we have a family child care place that's called Wildflower. And then we also have YAMISA, which is in the tribe's family center in Myrtle Creek. So we have a varied, array of services.
So for the ones that are offered in the public schools, does that mean this would be something going on separately from what that district might be offering?
When you say separately, what they do, the schools are looking at is a continuum of learning. And so what's been really helpful is when they have the preschool in their elementary school, the preschool teachers connect to the kindergarten teacher and the first grade teacher. And so they work together to make sure that the children are ready when they enter kindergarten and the kindergartens are ready for them.
And obviously that's been an evolving thing in education. How important is it for kids to go through a preschool program? I know sometimes people would like to let kids be kids longer, they might say, and just let them play and go to kindergarten later. What's the difference there? What could be gained by going to one of these preschool programs?
I think developmentally, there's certain points in the life of a child where they need to learn how to get along with their peers, social skills. There's certain points in time where there's developmentally a place where they can learn, whether it's their colors or whatever else. And I think that it's so important because children that aren't interacting with others, it's a harder they have a harder time sometimes in kindergarten because they aren't used to having other people around as much or as many. And so I think that when a child goes to preschool, the child sees the parents interact, the child and the parent and the teacher are all working together, and the child sees that, and the child is learning the same things at home and at school, and the child develops relationships with the teacher there to help the child to get through any kind of challenges with other children. And so it's kind of a learning experience on many, many levels. And so when the child gets to kindergarten, they're now full-day kindergarten, and there's more expected of children in kindergarten than there used to be. So preschool is a really great place to learn how to prepare themselves for their kindergarten experience and to gain skills and to be able to learn to ask questions and learn to feel comfortable.
What about the aspect of having a qualifying income? What's wrapped around how that's offered with Preschool Promise?
Yes. So the state legislature created the criteria for Preschool Promise, and it is it's that people have to be residents of Oregon. Their child has to be 3 or 4 by September 1st. And then also, if they can make up to 200% of the federal poverty level. So, for example, for a family of 4, 100% would be like $26,200. 130 would be $34,060. What makes this different, because you know, Head Start has their criteria too, is that it's a higher percentage. And so for a family of 4, they can make up to $52,400. Which is, that's a vast difference between those incomes. And so it's people who are working and, you know, could be a couple, could be single parents, it could be relatives. And we have all the above, and it gives them an opportunity to be able to send their child to a quality preschool and not have to pay.
And it opens up the opportunity a bit more to, for folks in the middle class and not really what you might normally classify as a program only for people with low income.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And so what we look at, and as we work with Head Start, is that we all want families to have parent choice, family choice, and each program has different things, and so what we hope to do is when families come to Preschool Promise, we offer them all of their options as to what they can choose. And that's really important to us. It's not whether they get into a Preschool Promise classroom. It's that they get the best that fits their family.
And so are the kids going to schools nearby them, or does it kind of depend on where they live and where it's offered, or are there opportunities, for instance, if you have working parents where it would work better to have the kid closer to their workplace, something like that?
Currently, in the school districts, the Preschool Promise is open to children in their school districts, and I think it's because they want that transition to be a smooth transition from preschool to kindergarten, and they want the children to know the buildings, and they want the children to know the teachers, and so currently, it's, I believe, school boundaries, and, you know, it could change in the future, but with everything the way it is, school districts need to have a school board and they make their decisions. And so, you know, we respect that.
So for Preschool Promise, how many teachers do you have involved in this?
For every school, depending on how many children they have, we have a low ratio of teachers to children. And so we have, you know, one adult to every 9 or 10 children. Sometimes, you know, there's more. And so we have a head teacher usually, and then probably most of the time, like two, if there's 18, 19 children, there's 2 assistants. In some schools, if they have less, maybe like 10, then it could be a teacher and an assistant. So it just depends on each school as to how they choose to have their ratio. But there has to be a minimum ratio of adult to child.
Now, what about the background of the teachers that are involved in this program?
State level, there's the Oregon Registry Online. And so what that is it's a place where people When they take training, they put all their certification in there. It could be a bachelor's degree. It could be an associate. It could be a bachelor's degree or associate in early childhood, which people can get those degrees at Umpqua Community College. It could be work experience and college. It could be many, many different varieties. But ultimately, they put all of their credentials into the Oregon Registry Online, and they get certain steps. And so, you know, in order to be a teacher, for example, a lot of our teachers are step 9 and higher. And so in order to be an assistant, they have to be a certain level. So it's very, very rigid criteria as to what kind of educational background the teachers will have.
So do you, as teachers are in this program, provide some ongoing training for them?
Yes. Yes. So the schools provide training or, you know, and or we have what's called Care Connections and Education. It's our child care resource and referral. It's also housed at Douglas ESD, and their mission, they're also under the Early Learning Division as we are at the State Early Learning Division, and their mission is to give quality training to all of the teachers all across our region. So they do that. They give technical assistance. So if a teacher is having a challenge, you know, with a child in the classroom, they're there to give suggestions. There's a lot of technical assistance. And so it does exist, and it's working really well.
How old does a child have to be to participate?
They have to be 3 by September 1st or 4 by September 1st. And there's, as far as the program goes, so the schools provide the schooling. The Early Learning Division provides the requirements and criteria. And the Care Connections and Education, which is our child care resource and referral, provides the technical assistance. And then the role of the hub is to qualify children under the criteria, the 3 main criteria of citizen of Oregon, age, and income. And as soon as we qualify, then we send them to the school as qualified to enroll.
Now, is this done on the traditional school year calendar, or can kids get involved at other points of the year?
It is, as far as being in schools, you know, K through 12, it is on the school year calendar. Sometimes, if, for example, if a child care center or a family child care has preschool promise, then they can do the hours differently. There's 900 hours required per year. And so it just depends on how that's spread out. In public schools, kindergarten is 900 hours. So the preschool promise has been required to have the same amount of hours as kindergarten.
Now, if people want to find out more information or look towards getting their child signed up, where do they go?
They can come to us, and let's see, they can call 541-957-4809, or they can also, and this is a long one, so they can visit www.douglasesd.k12.or.us, and they can find the information. And we also have a place where they can visit to get the interest form. I can give you both of those if you want to put it online.
Well, yeah, we'll do that. And obviously, if people go to Douglas ESD site, they can kind of start there and probably get to it, I imagine.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break and talk more with Jillian Wiesenberg from the Douglas Educational Service District. Also want to talk about a release you may have seen that came out on Monday about the need for substitute teachers in Douglas County. We'll tell you more about that when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It's 1250 at Inside Douglas County. Back in a minute on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1251. Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. True Wealth Radio. David Littlejohn and Katie Shook from Littlejohn Financial this afternoon. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, Vanessa Becker and Kristen Rutledge from the Douglas Public Health Network. We're going to go behind the scenes and talk about some of the work involved in things like contact tracing and others, and what it's been like for DPHN for the past year dealing with COVID-19. Jillian Wiesenberg with us from the Douglas Education Service District. And we talked about preschool promise, but let's also talk about the aspect of substitute teachers. Now, Jillian, explain what ESD's role is in substitute teachers for the public school districts in the county.
Yes, the Douglas Education Service District provides the role of registering all substitute teachers and also making sure that the placements happen. And so they are the kind of the core and the hub to centralize substitute teachers, which helps all of the school districts across Douglas County. So when a teacher can't make it in because of illness or a child being ill, then they call Douglas ESD, and Douglas ESD gets on the line and starts calling substitutes. So that's the role that they play, and they, you know, do a great job with it.
Has ESD had that role for a number of years, or is this a newer thing?
ESD has had that role for a number of years.
I know that in years past, maybe in other places as well, when it was handled individually by school districts, sometimes that just created more work, not only for those trying to find teachers to sub for them, but also for those who wanted to substitute themselves, having to get on multiple lists and make the connection. So it seems like it's probably more efficient to handle it this way.
Absolutely. We have one lady, her name is Connie Rosas, and she's wonderful. And so what happens is substitutes can let her know, gee, I only want to substitute one day a week. I only want to substitute at this school. Or they can say, gee, I want to be anywhere you need me. And what she does is she keeps a record of everything. And people usually call her really early in the morning and say, gee, we need a sub. And then what she does, she's an expert at it. And so you're right. It, when you centralize it like that, you have more of an idea of where people want to be, where they want to go. And I think it works really well. The challenge right now is that for a long time, as a lot of people know, there's been a shortage of teachers for years. There has been a shortage of substitutes. And it's my understanding that we have probably between 700 and 800 teachers across the county, and we have between 200 and 300 substitutes. So when you think about that and you think about the need for substitutes on a particular day, sometimes that can be challenging.
And of course, pre-pandemic, you had issues where you might have groups of teachers being gone for some professional meeting. Maybe all the third grade teachers at a district were going to be out, things like that. And then you add in certain times of the year, if the cold season is going around. I know I've heard from different educators that there are times they've basically been told there are no subs left. You better plan to get well in a hurry.
Yes, it's a challenge. And what the Douglas ESD does is it makes sure that all the substitutes are placed in safe environments. And, you know, there is criteria as far as keeping rooms safe, and that is strictly followed.
It used to be that subs were often retired teachers or sometimes those who hadn't yet been hired full time, getting ready to teach, maybe just out of college. How has that shifted in recent years?
I think we still have a lot of teachers who retired. I know one who just retired a couple of years ago, and she's back subbing almost full time. She said, you know, I didn't realize how much I was going to miss the kids. And she is just Miss Bubbly. She just loves it. So there's, you know, people like that. And there's also people who, you know, right now, if you want a substitute, if anyone wants a substitute, they just need a bachelor's degree. And then Douglas Education Service District will provide the training as far as, you know, what to do in the class, how, you know, what the requirements are. And so it's a very smooth transition. And the people that I know that are substituting, whether they're retired teachers or they have a bachelor's, they're having a good time. They're enjoying the youth, and I just think that it's been a really positive experience for a lot of people.
So was that a shift a few years back in what the state criteria was versus that it could only be people with education degrees?
Yes, it was a shift. It was a shift out of need, and this happens nationally. I know it ebbs and flows. I remember years ago, you know, hearing about it. And then I remember that, you know, there were more teachers, and now here we are, there need to be more teachers again. So it's something that's cyclical, that ebbs and flows. But yes, it used to just be that people had to be teachers, and the licensing group up north made that criteria. And then since there's been a shortage of teachers, they've laxed it and changed it.
So as a COVID-19 situation, has that made the issue of substitutes worse?
I don't know that it's made it worse. I think that what happens is that if a school, if one person gets COVID, then, you know, I know that a lot of people are quarantined. So I don't know that you would really say worse. I just say more, you know, more of a need.
If someone is interested, how do they connect with ESD on finding out more about becoming a substitute teacher?
Yes, my hope would be that they would call Connie Rosas, and her phone number is 541-957-4823, and I can give you her email address, and she would love to hear from you. She is just the warmest, friendliest person to work with, and she's really good at explaining and really good at supporting the substitute teachers.
Yeah, what is that email address?
Okay, it's Connie, C-O-N-N-I-E, dot Rosas, R-O-S-A-S, at DouglasESD, dot K-12, dot O-R, dot U-S.
All right, let's look at a couple aspects of education, both preschool promise and the need for substitutes. On Inside Douglas County today, Jillian Wiesenberg has been our guest from the Douglas Education Service District, the South Central Early Learning Hub leader. Jillian, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
In Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.